When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to Staying Connected, a podcast where I talk to people about their stories with VEDS, Marfan, Lois Dietz, and related vascular and aortic connective tissue conditions. The views, information, and opinions in this podcast are those of the individuals involved, and the information presented does not constitute medical or other professional advice or services. Hey everyone! Today we're going to hear from Sheila Felsky, who is joining us to share her experience with vascular Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, or VEDS, which she was diagnosed with last year. Before we get into the interview, if you or a family member have VEDS, Marfan syndrome, or Lois Dietz, and you want to share your story on this show, I'll be opening the recording calendar soon. Check out the episode show notes for a link to get on the schedule. I really look forward to talking with you. And if you like this show and you want to help our communities raise awareness of VEDS, Marfan, and Lois Dietz, consider joining my Patreon. This show wouldn't be possible without the support of my subscribers there, so if you're already supporting the show, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Let's get into the show. Hey, Sheila. Thanks for joining me on the podcast to share your story with vascular EDS or VEDS. Do you want to go ahead and introduce yourself to people who don't know you?
Hi there. My name is Sheila Felsky, and I'm 43 years old. I live in Ontario, Canada, and I was diagnosed with vascular EDS last year in February.
And how did that diagnosis come about for you?
So when I was 30 years old, I had my first daughter, and a month after her, I had my first dissection, which I didn't know at the time. So I went kind of undiagnosed for a little bit. I had this pulsing in my ear. My pupil was constricted. I had facial numbness. My taste buds were off, and all pertained to the left side with a bad headache and neck pain. I finally went to the doctor, and then they referred me out and to an ears, nose, throat, because they thought maybe it was something to do with my ear because of the pulsing. And they wanted to do a CAT scan to rule out a glomus tumor in the inner ear or an aneurysm. And then it came back as an aneurysm. So I was referred to neurology. I live in a small town, so there's about 8,000 people called Dryden, and there's not a lot of services locally for medical things, so I needed an MRI and to be referred out for, like I said, the neurosurgeon.
Mm-hmm. What kind of aneurysm was that? Like, where was it? Is it in the carotid, or?
It's a pseudo aneurysm in my carotid artery.
Okay, so what did they do next?
So they actually watched and waited for a bit because they weren't sure what to do. They didn't know if they should put a stent in or kind of watch it or some type of medication, because they thought, because it was kind of like an active dissection with the pseudoaneurysm there, they didn't want to cause a stroke for me. So we watched and waited for a few years, actually, and then it was stable. So at 35, actually at 34, because I wanted to have another baby. So at 34, he said, you've been stable for a few years now. If you want to have another baby, go ahead and do so. So we, you know, tried and stuff. And then I had my second daughter at 35. And a month after I had her, I completely ruptured my Achilles tendon, which I thought was weird because I didn't really jump off that high. I just jumped off the deck. But I was, you know, I was nursing and just had a baby. So they thought maybe to do with the hormones and things like that. I carried on. I healed from that. I was in a cast and recovered from that. And went on years, and after 10 years of monitoring the pseudoaneurysm with MRIs in between about every 3 years, that physician released me from his care because I was stable. It just told me to stay on daily ASA and stay healthy, eat well, and keep fit and stuff like that, and carry on. In September of 2022, I had a really bad headache, neck pain. My face had went numb in the upper temple, and I got really scared because I'm like, uh-oh, is this happening again? But I waited a couple days, and then the third day went by, still bad headache, taking Tylenol. On the fourth day, my sister said, you really should go back to the hospital and see what's going on. It's not normal to have a headache that bad for that many days. And I was scared to go because I didn't know what you kind of think about what's in the back of your mind of what it might be and push it aside. And it's like, nah, it's just a bad headache. So I went back up and they did a CAT scan right away. And the doctor came back and I could tell by the look on her face that it wasn't good. So my carotid artery redissected. They could still see the aneurysm, which was still stable. And then they could tell in the back a bit further as well that I had dissected my vertebral artery. So that's why they said that's what was contributing to the headache, was because of the new dissections. So I had to get air ambulanced out to Thunder Bay, which is probably a 2.5 hour airplane ride. They put me on a heavy dose of Plavix to start, just so to prevent any blood clotting, and got to Thunder Bay, and they did so our town only has a CAT scan machine, so I had to get an MRI in Thunder Bay. So they did that, a couple other tests to rule out that I didn't have a stroke because of the numbness and things like that. But because Thunder Bay isn't that big major center either, I think there's about 120,000 people there. They air ambulanced me to Ottawa, which is the much bigger city, and the team there accepted my care, and they were familiar more with some dissections and stuff, but at the time they didn't know why this was happening. So when I arrived in Ottawa, he said, you're young, so at 42 now, you've had two dissections, one at 30 and these two now. Do you want to do genetic testing? So I said yes. So they helped me through my care, though, while I was in Ottawa, getting better with the dissections and figuring out some type of medication plan for me and, resting and healing and things like that, and make sure that I wasn't going to get a stroke. And then, a week went by, another week went by, and I was finally discharged from the hospital. And I even I couldn't drive for a couple of weeks. They just wanted me to be careful and not drive and not lift anything heavy. Try not to have any stress. And then I slowly got better and the headaches went away and I returned back to work. And then I got the call, I have an appointment with a Toronto physician. She was going to fly into Thunder Bay and meet me there. I just had to drive to Thunder Bay. So from my house to Thunder Bay is a 4-hour drive. And she was very kind, and she did her thorough exam with a physical exam and then asked family history and things like that. And she said, by looking at me and doing her exam, she's like, I think you either have Lloyd-Stietz or vascular EDS, but we'll do the blood work. And they were going to test 19 different chromosomes just to confirm what was going on, to do a full panel checkup. And we'll go from there. And she advised me that the blood test would take a long time, about 4 months or so, because they had to be so thorough, and she would be in touch with me when we got the results back. In the meantime, I was on the Plavix. I had a severe allergic reaction after being on it for 3 weeks. My lips started to swell. There was hives pretty much from head to toe, but they didn't know what to do because they didn't want to give me a corticosteroid to interact with any, maybe not using the right words, but so didn't give me any more dissections or aggravate the one that I already had. So we had to call, the Winnipeg doctors to figure out what the best course of action was. So I had to be on this Plavix, so it was still thinning my blood. And they gave me a high dose of an antihistamine, and I had to take both of them while my body was fighting. I was in such severe pain. My bruising was terrible. Like, even my lips and my tongue, I had a hard time eating. And I just was, you know, cried and, why is this happening? And
yeah.
So they switched me to a different blood thinner called Brilinta, and I slowly came off the Plavix, and thank God all that started to resolve over time. So when I saw the geneticist, though, Dr. Morell in Thunder Bay, she wanted, while we were waiting for the blood work, she wanted to do some full body imaging from your neck to your torso area to make sure I didn't have any other dissections or aneurysms that were hanging out. So I did have two MRIs because I had to separate that. But back, so February, I got the call that yes, I was positive for vascular EDS, the missense mutation, which I'm learning now is the worst mutation of all three levels of mutation. I'm just learning, like I say, I'm learning about the different amino acids and things like that, of whether it's replaced with. And so getting a blow like that, I just felt crumbling, because I know you're not supposed to, you know, Dr. Google and things, but I wanted to, I'm a book of knowledge, and I wanted to learn everything about it and what can I do to help myself. And then I thought about my kids. So, and I'm also a twin. When I say my sister, I'm a twin. So I thought about her, because I'm like, well, if I have it, maybe she has it. So I got the girls tested, and unfortunately my oldest, I passed it on to her. She's 13 now. And my youngest, she didn't have it. And then a few months after that, my sister got tested because they wanted to find out if her son has it. So my sister tested positive and her son tested negative. So with that, I got all these kinds of appointments now, heading back and forth to Ottawa, and same with my daughter, Charlie, so we can get the best care to find out what's going on and how do you help us. And, you know, when my MRIs came back, I had a celiac dissection. I had two external iliac artery dissections. One trip I was in Thunder Bay, I just all of a sudden had this really bad blank pain. I'm like, oh man, what's going on with that? I'm like, that's not right. And it just continued to get worse. And I was at my friend's house and I'm like, I need to call the ambulance. I'm not sure. I just knew. You just know when something's wrong with your body. So go to the ambulance. They do a CAT scan right away. And my UPG joint obstructed from my bladder to my kidney, and my urine's flowing into my kidney. So then I had a really bad infection. My white blood count was high, so I'm on a heavy duty antibiotic to help clear that out. And you know, it's emotional. You just think, wow, you read about carotid artery dissections, and you know, I survived that, and I survived a vertebral dissection. You know, I don't have any mobility issues. I didn't lose any limbs when the blood flow is not going. Like, and when my carotid dissected, it was 90% occluded. And you know, you're trying to learn all these things, but you have this overwhelming feelings of like, what is the doctor telling to me? You know, you kind of feel like your world's closing in and you're rushed with all these emotions. And
yeah.
And just say, yeah, I'm a survivor. But then you're scared, because when's the next one going to be? And is the next one going to be the last one? And the kids are young and I want to watch them grow up. And
yeah, that's just like a super hard diagnosis to get. Like, and I wish that I could like reach out and give you a hug, because those feelings are so relatable.
Thank you.
And I'm so sorry that you went through all of that and that you have to continue living with vets
Yeah, and you just have to, like, I think about what Charlie might go through. I don't want her to experience any pain and scaredness. And, you know, kids are resilient that way, at least. But as we get older, you know, you kind of worry more and you're like, oh, which pain is that one that I need to go to the hospital for? And like I say, we're a small town and I'm the first one in this town that we know of. I mean, we don't go test everybody for vascular EDS, but some of the physicians here never even heard of it. And so we're learning together as we get to the hospital. And, you know, then I went to Chicago and learned about the VEDS movement. And, you know, they put together that VEDS preparation emergency kit. So, you know, I'm filling that out now so we can work together in our small community to figure out if something does happen, this is what we kind of need to do. You know, it's crossed my brain. Should I move to a bigger center? So there's, you know, this is like home and your family's here and your friends are here.
Yeah.
And it sucks because it's like, it's an invisible illness, right? So you think you're fine. Everybody else might think you're fine where you're like, oh, you know, I'm really tired today and the medication you're on now. So I'm on a beta blocker now. I'm on a, you know, your vitamin C and your vitamin D and my iron's low. And, you know, they contemplated putting me on spironolactone. I mean, I have a prescription for it and I just read the side effects and I'm like, oh man, I don't want anything else. And I don't want to experience any more symptoms. Or what if I get an allergy to that one now? I've never had an allergy in my life. And then the medication that's supposed to help me is tearing me apart. And
yeah.
So I went to counseling for a while. And so you talk about your emotions and like you get mad, like, why me? And
let's pause for a second and unpack some of the medical events that happened kind of prior to your diagnosis. Would that be okay?
Yeah.
Okay. You said that did your carotid dissection and then your vertebral dissections, did those happen like both of them not long after you gave birth?
The first carotid artery dissection was when I was 30, and that happened a month after I gave birth to her.
Okay. The month after you gave birth. And then the second one, when the carotid like dissected again, and then you found out about the vertebral dissection, that was also not long after giving birth, right?
No, that was like 7 years after my second daughter. After my second daughter, I ruptured my Achilles tendon.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Okay. And this could be, if this is too much information, just tell me. But were they both like natural deliveries or C-sections?
Yes.
Or?
Yep, natural. And we asked about that when we found about the aneurysm and I was still wanting the second baby. We asked like the doctors and I, is it okay to safely have another baby and push? And they said, yes.
Yeah.
So I had
no idea you had vascular EDS.
That's right.
Yeah. I'm so glad that delivery went good.
I know, because my family physician and I read, when she was reading, like, you know, the report, and like, I'm lucky. And then I'm like, oh my God, I survived having my kids. Like, this having vascular EDS could have killed me. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I'm a cautious person. So, it's probably better that I didn't know until after I had my two beautiful children.
I very much relate to that feeling of like, kind of glad I didn't know at this period of time. In a different way, like I never delivered a child, but there's some stuff I've done that I don't know how I mentally would have handled it knowing that I have VEDS. So your closest MRI machine is 4 hours away.
Yeah.
And I want to understand, like, when you said like you had to go to the emergency room, do you have a local emergency room and then you travel? Like, how far are you traveling for your VEDS care in general?
From where I actually live to, if I were to leave my house and drive to Ottawa, it would take me 21 hours.
And that's where your specialist is?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I drive 4 hours to Thunder Bay and I take a plane and it's a 2.5 hour plane ride.
Wow. Yeah, that's a lot.
So when I go to Ottawa, we line everything up. So I'm going in May, coming up again. So I'll see the geneticist for my yearly checkup, and I have all my reports with me because I've had these other dissections and stuff, and she's not aware of them yet. And then I see the cardiologist. I'll have my, because it affects our aorta. Also, I'll have an echo. I'll have an MRI to check the aneurysm with the carotid artery there in the vertebral. And Dr. Nagpal is the vascular surgeon, so I'll see him as well. So I'm in Ottawa for like 3 or 4 days, depending on what the results are and things like that.
Mm-hmm. And this has been about a year now, like a little over a year since your diagnosis.
Yes.
Okay. So let's talk more about that emotional recovery. We had started getting into it, and I wanted you to be able to take a breath. But how are you getting through those intense emotions from all of this?
Well, for the first little bit, I had to actually take some time off work once I found out about the diagnosis in February. Because when the dissections happened in September, I went back to work, and then waiting, once I found out, I'm like, I was overwhelmed. The emotions were overwhelming, because then they're talking about surgery to take out the aneurysm. Because we don't want it to rupture or things like that. So, I'm constantly reminded, I'm 43 now, so to this day, 13 years, I've had pulsing in my ear. So I'm constantly reminded of that aneurysm. And now to have VEDS on top of it, because I'm more prone, I guess to say, I can't lift anything. They say safety-wise, don't lift anything. Mine was increased, they say 20 pounds. My medication, if I work, go for a fast walk, I feel like it's kind of working against me, even though it's helping me, because your heart rate can't go too high. And, what should I be doing that's safe? I tried to go back to my bounce class. Kangoo Bounce is time with the girls. I saw changes in my body that were, brought on muscle, and I felt good. And we did that 4 or 5 times a week. So 17 months, I didn't go to bounce class. So I attempted to go to bounce class last month. I went twice. I went the first time, and I'm like, yes, I can get back to where I was, get strong, and I'm gonna do this. I've always joked I'm gonna live to 110. I know most people don't live that long, but I don't want to die. And now I feel like every day I'm so grateful to wake up, because, the ticking time bomb of an aneurysm or these dissections, when are they going to pull apart and burst? And then I'm just like, okay, we're going to do it. I'm a cat with 9 lives, and I'm going to keep on having lives. But I went to bounce, and I had a headache for 4 days after I went to the first class. And then the second class, the next day at work, I felt like this tear in my stomach. So I had to go back to the hospital, and he thinks I tore a muscle, because then my body went all tingly and numb, and I just felt like I was going to faint. And the world started to close in. So I thought, oh man, the one workout I actually love to do, and it keeps my sanity, because you just feel free and you listen to the music, and that's ripped away from me now. And so I just think about my kids and the things that I want to continue to do and see in the world still, because there's so much to do and see. And so you just push through the tiredness, because, for me, on my beta blocker, I'm tired on it. I just drink lots of water and think, you know what? I'm gonna be okay. But in the back of your mind, it's like, when will the last day be? So I thought, you know what? You've got to keep thinking positive thoughts, and you have your family and friends, and just want to experience more life things. I've never been anywhere warm. like Mexico. I see all these pictures of the people beaches. I'm like, I'm going to get there one day. I'm going to feel that sand in my feet.
Yeah. Yeah. Just focusing on the things that you still want to see and do and focusing on life as it is. Yeah. Did you have any symptoms as a child? Like now that you know that you have VADS, is there anything that you can look back on and be like, oh, that?
Yeah, there is actually. The easily bruising is for sure one. I'm like, most kids bruise anyway, but my bruises were always bad. And I always did cut easy, like the thin skin. And I always thought, oh man, like, and my eyes started to change. I think it was in grade 6, and I'm very nearsighted. Thank goodness for contacts and glasses so it can be corrected. But, and then at about age 17, I think it was, my hair, it started to get, I had really thick hair and it started to fall out. I'm like, what's going on? So I went to a specialist in Winnipeg to see, and they couldn't really pinpoint what would be going on, because all my hormone tests and everything, they came back fine. But other than those symptoms, I mean, when I seen the geneticist now, they talk about the different, you know, the lips and the nose and the earlobes and things like that. But I wouldn't have thought about any of those things as a kid.
Right, right. And then after, when you went for testing for your hair, like after they didn't find anything, that was it, right?
Yeah, I kind of just carried on. I mean, it wasn't terrible that I needed anything. And then I got pregnant and like the hormones with pregnancy, I'm like, oh my God, my hair is great again. And then, you know, you those hormones go away after you stop breastfeeding. So hair extensions and stuff like that help. Too bad, but I mean, you can't really do, and that's why they thought maybe trying the spironolactone actually might be a thing to help with. But, and then I learned from the geneticist that breastfeeding, it actually, they believe that it might promote dissections. I'm not sure if that's true.
I have heard that before about the mouse studies, but I'm not sure if they've recommended that humans not breastfeed, you know?
Right.
So in your, you know, you live in this small town, and like when we say small town, like small town, and to me, small town, maybe. I mean, it's 8,000 is considered a small town, right?
I think it's small, but.
Yeah. Okay. So you live in a small town, rural area, let's say, and, you know, you have to go far for your medical care, and you have this rare condition that is super scary and a lot to like just kind of take on, and your local doctors, you know, this is, you mentioned that this is the first, like you're the first person in your town that they know has this. So in the time that you've, you know, come into this diagnosis and then, or gotten this diagnosis and, you know, interacted with medical care since, what are some of the things that you want medical professionals to know about VADS, whether it's the ones in your area or the ones in Ottawa or both?
I mean, probably both, and even, yeah, Thunder Bay, because I do have to go there as well. Because I didn't mention that I had went to Chicago to the conference, the Marfan Foundation conference, and learned a lot there. So I just want them to be aware of how serious this condition is, that at any given moment, you know, we wear a medical alert bracelet for a reason, because at any time, we don't know what's going to happen. Something can rupture or dissect. It'd be awesome to have an MRI machine here, but, you know, because there's other people that need those services too, let it be cancer patients and stuff like that too, but just how rare this condition is and how serious it can be, to let them all know that there is no cure and there is a shortened life expectancy, and, you know, knowledge is power. So if all the physicians here know what goes on with my sister, daughter, and I, then
maybe they can see that, oh, well, maybe we missed this diagnosis in somebody else, and then that can help that person live a longer life and healthier lifestyle, you know, because my daughter Charlie was in judo, so she can't have a contact sport because she would be at risk for rupture. So we're playing that safe now, and she's still in judo, but she doesn't do the contact part. She does exercise, and she's with her friends, so we can't take everything away from her. So she still has to live a full life and be happy, and hope to God that nothing happens to her. So just to bring awareness of this rare disease and have this VEDS family, and we have to try and persevere, and hopefully one day there will be a cure.
Mm-hmm. I hope so. I really hope so. You mentioned, I'm glad that you brought up conference again, because you brought that up earlier, and then I think we got on a different conversation, and we should talk about conference. Like, what was that like for you going to Chicago? There were over 100 people connected to VEDS there, a lot of families and people who went who had VEDS. Was that your first time meeting people outside of your family with this condition, and what was that like?
Yes, it was my first time meeting. Well, it was my first time going to Chicago, and I haven't even been into the U.S. in a very long time, so doing that experience was exciting to, I know it might sound weird to say exciting because it's something medical and scary, but to meet people like yourself, and, you know, I met Bella and Jeff and a couple of, we had these great connections, but to feel like I wasn't alone in something so scary. And the doctors working with us, mm-hmm. and learning from each of our cases to try and figure out like a cure or some type of medication that might be better for us. And we felt like a family there. I didn't feel like I was alone. And they understand what we've been through. Cause, you know, my sister, even she has not had any of the symptoms that I've been through, you know, the pain, the emotions, everything's overwhelming. So to be at the conference in a room with these amazing people you meet and feel like in this moment, we're going to all be okay. We're all going to be this big family and help each other through this scary, crappy diagnosis.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. It's a really great way to put it. What kind of advice would you give somebody who is going through any of the things that you've been through?
To live life to the fullest. Always tell your family and friends that you love them. And learn as much about the diagnosis that you can, so you're aware of your body and what might happen, and don't be afraid to go to the doctor and think, oh, it's not a big deal, because the time that you think it isn't a big deal might be the last time. And I did that myself. I waited 4 days. So I've learned from that, and eat well and stay fit and be happy.
Yeah. Thank you so much for coming on to share your story. And, you know, especially it's been, you know, only a year or so since your diagnosis, such a heavy diagnosis to carry. And I really, really appreciate you coming on to share your experience. We do have, you know, a lot of medical professionals, at least in Texas. If you're listening in Texas, thanks for listening. But we have a lot of medical professionals in Texas that listen to this show. And I think generally around where the experts are. And I just think it's so important, you know, the power of sharing your story and helping others is, I think, incredibly important. And I really appreciate you doing that.
Thank you, Kadia. Thank you for allowing me to share my story.
Yeah, of course.
Thanks for listening to this episode featuring Sheila Felsky sharing her experience with vascular Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. If you like this show, be sure to share it on social media or give it a rating or review. You can also support the production of this podcast by joining my Patreon. As always, my top-tier patrons are listed in the episode show notes. If you're ready to meet others, get involved, or need support, there are links for you in the episode show notes too, and there are always events going on in different areas around the country. I know quite a few people in the vascular EDS community are heading to Portland, Oregon for the symposium on May 11th, and of course, Reds for Vets Day is also right around the corner in May. There's also a link in the episode show notes for the Veds Collaborative Natural History Study, a research study led by Dr. Shireen Shalhoub, open to people with VEDS, Marfan, Lois Dietz, and similar connective tissue conditions. Next week, my brother is rejoining us, and we're going to talk about my recent hospitalization with a renal artery dissection and iliac dissection, and how that's affected both of us. I'll see you soon.